Hi there, listeners. Welcome to WGRT's Limelight, your connection to the people influencing our culture, commerce, and community here in Port Huron, Michigan, and beyond. Today we have Brian Calley on the phone. Brian is the president of the Small Business Association of Michigan.
We have a lot of business owners that have been really confused now about these rulings and where they fit in. And what I'm hearing from several of them is that they feel now that it's all this liability for keeping employees safe has now been thrust on them as business owners. And they feel caught between customers who don't want to follow these rules anymore and their employees who they are responsible for keeping safe. So do you think that's an accurate situation that we're facing right now, or is there some misunderstanding there?
Clearly, the executive orders that many of the regulatory actions were based upon have been made unenforceable. So that's one thing we know for certain. We also know for certain that the state departments and the regular rulemaking process and also to some lesser extent, emergency orders, they still can issue rules and additional requirements. And some of that has already happened, and we know that more of it will happen in the future. From our association standpoint, we have urged our members to continue with the same practices they were using before, because they were based on CDC guidance and the federal OSHA standards. Mm-hmm. So the occupational safety and health requirements in the law, both federally and at the state level, they require that businesses provide their employees a workplace that is free from hazards that are likely to cause serious injury or death. And disease spread in a business is definitely falls under the scope of that authority, the regulatory authority that they have. And so while at the moment there do not happen to be broadly, or more, I should say, there's not specific COVID-related rules within the MyOSHA department, at least not those that are based on enforceable orders, I do expect in the next week or two they will have gone through the regular rulemaking process. They will have promulgated rules specific to COVID-19 for workplace safety, and those rules are likely to be enforceable. So rather than change everything now, because we're kind of in this in-between period, it would be more advisable, especially considering liability concerns and the general duty obligations under the law that businesses have to provide a safe work environment, to continue those orders or to continue the practices.
Yeah. So do you feel that the legislature will be able to work with the governor? Because that's kind of what it's all boiled down to, that they're now forced to work together to be able to resolve, you know, what exactly the rules are going to be. Are you optimistic about that?
Well, it is hard to be optimistic these days about the cooperation at any level of government. It does seem to be pretty challenging for people to work together. But I guess to step back, though, I think that the requirements to work with the legislature now, given the Supreme Court decision, I think are tied to actions that require suspension of current statute. So when the governor was exercising emergency powers, she had the ability to create and suspend laws unilaterally. Without that power, she doesn't have the ability to create or suspend laws anymore. However, she does still, and her department still, have the ability to enforce existing law. And I would guess that that much of what was left in the executive orders, perhaps, you know, two-thirds or three-fourths of it, could have been done under regular departmental rulemaking under existing authorities in the law. I think, frankly, it should have, at least since June, that's how it should have been done anyway, mm-hmm. instead of under emergency rules. So when I expect that when MyOSHA promulgates rules, they will not do so in a way that that suspends or creates any new laws, that they'll simply stick to promulgation of rules. under the general duty obligations that already exist in the law. They'll just put it in the context of COVID-19. What I don't think that they have the ability to do are proactive business closures. So okay. We saw before that there were certain, you know, broadly and then certain industries that were required to be closed. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that the governor nor the departments have the ability to do that today, but they do have the ability to regulate safety requirements in the workplace.
Okay. And to be clear, technically right now, all businesses are allowed to be open?
That's correct. My sense is that that they were close enough to phase five when basically all businesses were allowed to be open, that the governor and the departments are not, they don't appear to me that they're moving toward trying to find a way to close additional lines of business now. So I think that they were pretty close to the end of that process anyway, and therefore I would be very surprised if they went back and looked for ways to reclose businesses. But at the moment, there are no emergency orders, and there are no administrative rules that even attempt to close businesses.
So throughout this whole thing, it seems like the one side of the political spectrum needed to illuminate like the hardship on business to kind of prove their point. And, you know, it's not that that wasn't happening, but that just seemed to be the focus a lot of what they were talking about. And then the other side focused a lot on health issues, you know, and the consequences of COVID, you know, the negative effects of that. Why is it so hard, do you think, to do both at the same time, to like bring those two things together and focus on keeping our economy strong, but also keeping people healthy and safe?
That's the political system these days. But out in the real world, where employers and employees and consumers are living their lives, it's not that complicated. Businesses, especially small businesses, who live and operate in the communities where their kids go to school and they do all their shopping and living, and they're just integrated in, you know, as central parts of those communities, they have the exact same interests as their customers.
Yeah.
And they want a strong, healthy, and vibrant community. They want the availability of jobs. They want opportunity. They want to be able to support what's happening in their community. And the small businesses tend to be that infrastructure of philanthropic and community support. And they also want to keep their employees safe. You know, I like to say that small businesses treat their employees like family, because oftentimes it literally is their family. So mm-hmm. The interests aren't competitive here. The interests, I think, are very, very well aligned. And within our political system, it does seem like, you know, there's a lot of all or nothing type discussion. But I don't believe that's how small businesses see it. I think small businesses see it like, I need the ability to operate. Right? So the rules have to make it possible to sustainably operate, but also recognize that this is a pandemic. There are risks. And for some of our population, the risks are extraordinarily high. And so mm-hmm. they want to operate in a way that doesn't contribute to the spread. And, you know, as we look at outbreak data, how and where outbreaks happen, it is actually pretty clear that the workplace is one of the safer places.
Right.
Where people are, you know, the workplaces are the places where there is some kind of structure and adherence to rules and distancing and personal protective equipment. So I think that speaks well to the type of commitment that business owners have to this. They need to be able to operate, and it's not right that their ability to operate be taken away from them. They also recognize that they have to do it in a certain way. They have to do it in a way that's safe for their community, safe for their employees, and safe for their customers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That was really great. I really appreciate that, because I do feel like sometimes I'm overwhelmed with my day-to-day living and working in a small community with a lot of small business owners who, like you said, care very much about their employees, and they, you know, that's their first priority. But then, you know, I take in all these press releases. Sometimes it's almost oppressive, you know, to just be listening, you know, to that stuff that just seems so disconnected from my experience on a day-to-day basis in my community.
Yeah. You know, we've been doing surveys right throughout, and three surveys of our members over the last 6 months. It is clear that while some industries have really come back very strong, that we have other industries that are really still suffering and hanging on by a thread.
Right.
And so that's where I think we're at a stage now where hopefully we're past the question of, know, are we going to allow businesses to operate? And we're more into the stage of, okay, what are the safety requirements that will be required? But in our last survey, there were about 25% of businesses that either thought their sales would stay steady or increase. And keep in mind, like, revenue into the business is what keeps it sustainable. If declines mean they have to shrink. But there were almost 20% of businesses, or 25%, I should say. No, I would say 20. Yeah, about one in five businesses say that they expect a catastrophic impact on their overall revenue to drop by more than half. And so when you consider that, you got on one side of it, you get some businesses like, manufacturing, for example, where there's been a very robust recovery, and I've heard from many manufacturers that say they're busier now than they were in February, before the pandemic started. And yet you got others that are in smaller retail, hospitality-style businesses, convention center, anybody that's around gatherings of people, and they're just barely hanging on.
Do you see at this point, or is it too soon, if there really is going to be a defining change in some types of businesses that we're just not going to do things that way anymore? We're not going to need those services anymore? Or I'm not sure if that's the right way to ask that question, but
it's hard to answer that question ahead of time because entrepreneurs and innovators and consumers make changes sometimes in ways that can't be anticipated, but some of those changes I think are very obvious. So the adoption curve toward remote work is one that I don't think will whether go back the way it was before. And even just that one, if you accept that one premise, consider the overall ramifications.
Right. So for all these office buildings
So you got commercial real estate and office buildings. You have retailers and restaurants that their whole business model is to be where office workers go. So, you're in Port Huron. Think about, on a big scale, downtown Detroit, where tens of thousands of office employees go downtown every day, except for they're not now. And maybe they never will at the same level. So even if you say to retail and restaurants, storefronts, hey, you guys can open again. But if their customers are gone, then it doesn't really matter. That's part of it. Obviously, the remote purchasing, but even think about something like a dry cleaner. Work has changed.
You don't have to take your yoga pants to the dry cleaner, right?
Yeah, to the dry cleaner. that's the so there's a whole bunch of ancillary services that exist to serve traditional office and office workers. So anything around that, that either just the foot traffic, the direct services, on the other side, there's opportunity that comes out of it.
Right.
Anybody who's set up well for remote sales, information technology is another one that, where there's, things are just kind of booming. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that I think people are generally social. Mm-hmm. So the idea of doing fully remote work is not necessarily attractive to everybody.
For more information about Brian and the Small Business Association of Michigan, click on Limelight at WGRT.com. That's it for this edition of Limelight. Have fun out there, learning, working, and playing. Until next time. For WGRT, I'm Jesse Wiegand.